praises, when you praise God, blessings come down. And you're not getting blessings, you know you're doing something wrong. And you better start praising him. All right. Today we're going to look at one of the great I Ams. It's about 7 or 8 of them in the book of John. And we're going to start off with when Jesus said, John 6. For those who have the Bible in front of you, turn to it, John 6, 35. We stand, please. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that come to me shall never hunger, and he that believe on me shall never thirst. All right. Amen. Amen. Will you please be seated? I'm going to pray and ask the preacher to come. Though I prepare myself, I cannot preach without the preacher. I'm going to ask God to, through the Holy Spirit, get involved in what I'm mumbling about. Precious Lord, thank you for another opportunity to allow me to preach what thus said the Lord. Lord, use me as the instrument. Lord, use me as the horn of salvation this morning. And then, Father God, let me decrease in the flesh and increase in the spirit for no form, fashion, or show. But Lord, but to tell your people what the word of God say, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Verse, we're going to look at John 6. We're going to look at really 25 verses of chapter 6, the core of it. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So it tells you in 35 what Jesus is saying. Then we're going to go a little bit deeper and make it plain. The bread of life, he said, no man who come to me will ever be hungry. And no man who believe in me will ever be thirsty again. Now, Jesus, what are you saying? Now, Jesus said that I am eternal life. The bread of life is what? Eternal life in Jesus. Now, I've seen this before when he's talking about bread. What did I see there? Somebody up here said in Matthew 4. In Matthew 4, when Jesus went through the temptations of life. When Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but every word proceed out of the mouth of God. Now, what is he doing? He's giving us a format on how to defeat Satan when temptation comes. We just don't follow it. We go and complain all the time. But he gave us a format. And he said, now if I was having sickness in my body, and I hollered out 1 Peter 2:24, Jesus did that, and then Satan gonna hit me with another pain, what did I do? Stand on what? 1 Peter 2:24. That is his purpose, Satan. But if I stand on it long enough, keep saying it, after a while, I'm healed. He gave you the format, didn't he? He told you what to do. He said, stand on the word of God. In Matthew 4, he defeats Satan with the word of God. How are us, we cannot defeat Satan. I'm not strong enough. I might have the knowledge in the scriptures, But I'm not strong enough to take on change. But if I hold on to what Jesus said, the word of God, after a while, my healing will come. I just got to keep on saying it. I stand on 1 Peter 2:24. Now, I'm going to start at verse 26, and we're going to go to 51 today. 26, in the beginning of the chapter, Jesus had fed 500 people with a little boy's lunch. And we know that. That mother sent her little boy off, but she was a mother prepared for him a lunch. And Jesus took that lunch and fed 5,000 people and had 12 baskets over. Now, the people is coming to Jesus in 26 again because what? They're hungry. They're hungry, and they said, Jesus, we want to eat again. Now, the people sought Jesus not for Jesus, but they sought him for what? For food. That's right, brother. For food. They sought him for what he can give them. They didn't want him but his blessings. We have people like that in church. They don't want Jesus, but they want what Jesus can do. Now, well, let us look at that. You can tell when you talk long enough, when they said, now, Jesus, you asked them, what did Jesus mean to you? They're going to say, he's my Savior. He's my deliverer. But why would they say he's my Lord? That's different. When you say he's my Lord, that means that you got to live by what Jesus said. But we don't want to live by what Jesus said. We want to live how we want to live. In other words, we want the flesh to take over. Now, we all been like that. I have been like that too. I told you I was a heathen. We have all had done things. We have all had done things we shouldn't do. But then the Bible said we got to grow in grace. You see, you got to grow in grace. You got to grow into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, brothers and sisters, a lot of people don't want to get there. They don't want to heed to the word. But he told you what the word in Matthew 4. See, a lot of us want to do it our way. My way. Quit listening to Frank Sinatra, my way. Because it gets you a lot in trouble when it comes to the Lord. Yeah, but people want to do that. And let's tell the truth, it's kind of fun, isn't it, to live in the flesh a little bit, isn't it? When people getting on your nerves, you want to tell them off a little bit, don't you? I heard people say, I'm going to lay my religion down. When you hear people say, I'm going to lay that religion down, what will come out of their mouth? Woo! Yeah, I found that out one day. They said, I'm going to lay my religion down. Woo, she got the cussing at me. Woo, I said, sister, won't you pick it back up? Won't you pick it back up? She said, I'm going to lay it down today. I'm going to get you straight. We didn't fall out. I hugged her and kept doing what I'm going to do. And she kept getting me straight all the time. Now, as the conversation goes, Jesus urged them to give spiritual priority over physical blessings. The group of people was non-believers, and they must have been hungry. But Jesus talking about spiritual blessings, how to live forever. Now, I found out if a person say he's hungry and you want to give him some spiritual food, first give him some physical food. And then he will or she will listen to you. I found that out street preaching. I had to go on the street, and we started out on street preaching. Many of y'all probably saw me downtown on 3rd Street, 3rd and Main. And I was a little younger then, probably a little skinny then. Y'all probably saw me out there hollering and preaching. Jesus telling them in the conversation that don't work for food that perish, but work for food that eternal life, which is the Son of Man will give you. Now, people ask Jesus, now look at that. They ask Jesus in verse 6:28, Jesus, what is the work of God require them? Now, they ask Jesus, and Jesus tell them. And when we tell them, they then want to know what he said. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one who has sent. The only thing God demands of those wanting to receive the free gift of eternal life is believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. Which you see at the getting in the end of the chapter, nobody gave their life to Christ. It's said when you get into 50s, any verses, start at 26 and you get into the end of the chapter, nobody gave their life to Christ. Then at 6:30, now this would have made me angry. 6:30, people asked Jesus for a sign for believing in his Son. And people said, give me a sign. Why should I believe in you? Now, if he made a loaf of bread, a big giant loaf of bread, they would have been pleasing, wouldn't they? But Jesus was talking about spiritual food. Now, that was, I'm telling you something for life, then you go talking all crazy. Why should I believe in you? And they said, now, Moses gave them a sign when children of Israel left Egypt, about 3 million people, and Moses walked with them. God allowed them to walk day and night. He put a cloud of fire in the sky for them to walk, and a cloud in the daytime. What did that tell you? God said, I will never forsake you or leave you. People up here know that. They saying it. You all should say it too. It tells me what? You want them blessings. Quit wanting them blessings now. Want God instead of the blessings. Jesus had to correct the people. He said Moses didn't give them that. God was their source. God was offering them something greater than more bread. He offered them the true bread the one who come down from heaven and give life to the world. But the crowd was still thinking about physical food. God give us the bread, always the crowd asks. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. We went over there. Now we're in verse 35. Jesus said, he tell them what? My bread is eternal life. Now, he explained that to them, but they still didn't comprehend what Jesus said. Now, the point two, verse 636 to 640, is the core of the chapter. Now, shake your head and open up your ears now. Open up your ears to what I'm saying. 637, he threw a curveball, didn't he? Jesus said, God has already given me. And you know, the people said, ain't nobody come to you, Jesus. You ain't got no bread in your hand. Who coming to you? I'm imagining they saying that. But Jesus went deeper. See what's wrong now? We don't want to go, what my grandmother say, to the ninny-granny. We want to go to the surface. But children, you got to go deeper. I didn't mean to call you children, but my brothers and Christians, you got to go deeper. 37 is saying what in the book of Romans. Now, there's only two teaching when you go to the nitty-gritty of the scriptures. It's found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul wrote about half of the Bible, half of the New Testament. How many books in the New Testament? 27. He wrote about 13 of them. But all in Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that what they have in common, what they have in common, there is two teaching. And why do you keep saying two teaching, Reverend? Because I want you to understand. Now, this is the first one. God has given him certain ones to Christ. It said that in 37. And that all that those whom he give will be saved. That is called what? The elect. You got to go to Romans now. There's elect. Now, where you get that from? That means that God has predestination. You see, he put predestination. He threw that word in for them. He didn't use predestination, but he threw the meaning of predestination. In other words, God know beforehand the day that you accept Jesus Christ is no surprise to him. He know what? Before then. That's predestination. Because our God is what? Omni-knowledge. God is all-knowing. But sometimes we think we know more than God. I have, and you have none of it too, if you tell the truth. You think you know more than God. You say, God, I want you to bless me today. If I don't get it today, Lord, I don't want it. I want it today. You see, we act like spoiled kids, don't we? Predestination. Predestination is to know beforehand. In order to be saved, a man or woman must come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him by faith. If anyone who is saved is because of the free gift of God. Free gift of God, but you got accepted by faith. What that means? You wasn't there, I wasn't there. We didn't see it, but we believe it. So we got accepted by faith. You see, y'all looking at me strange. Are y'all saved? Are you saved? Are your name is on the roll at Tabernacle? If your name is on the roll, you're not saved. Your name got to be in the name book. This book is temporary. Well, but when the big book is open, you see, a lot of us, we join Tabernacle, but we have not asked God to come in your life. That's two different things. You got to ask God to come in your life. But when you ask God to come in your life, older people like us see you make mistakes and we down you. When you're young, you got to grow in grace. It is a process. You got to meditate. Oh, God, got to bump your head a little bit. You got to bump your head. That's right. You're going to have some hard times. And then you got to ask the Lord, Lord, why this don't be? And he going to say, well, probably won't answer that. Because, see, he know what you're going through. And he know how you to bring you up to the image that you portray. Now, you say that you say, in other words, he look at you as justification. He don't look at James Easton, but he look for the God inside of James Easton. Oh, when he look at James Easton, he gonna turn his head. Woo, Jesus. But when it's James, but the God inside of James Easton, who died above the cross. You see, that's what he look at. He ain't looking at you. He know you're going to be clowning. And he know you're going to be clowning. Now, the second teaching of Titus 2:11, God made a universal offering. That if a man believe on Lord Jesus Christ, he shall be saved. He must first repent and believe. Then God will save him. No man come to God without Christ, you see. In other words, like I said earlier, God know beforehand. And God set up things in front of us to make us difficult for me and you to what? Accept him in our life. And then when he accept him in our life, things work out. But it still won't be no trouble-free life. God didn't promise you and I a trouble-free life. He didn't say that. He said, I'll be with you. Now, I want God to be with me when I'm struggling. When I'm struggling, be with me on my sick bed. Be with my son and my daughters. Be with people in my family, you see. And be with Tabernacle sick. We have sick people in Tabernacle. Yes. Ain't gonna call no names. But we need to pray for them. Yeah, I don't want to get personal. You go out and say, Reverend talking about me this morning. No, I'm not. I'm not talking about you because my wagon, me and my wife can barely pull our wagon. We can barely pull our wagon. I'm going to pull my own wagon this morning. But you need to hear when he said, I am eternal life. You need to know what that mean. Okay. Let's go to the third point. It'll be the last point. Now, look at verse 651. It said, eat my flesh. Now, Jesus, what is you talking about? Eat my flesh. Can you see the people saying now, Jesus, you talking about cannibalism? No. We gonna have to burn you. Can somebody say, I want his thigh. I want the meaty part. No, he didn't. No, he, that's right, brother. I'm going to have to go a little bit deep. Now, let's go a little bit deeper now. Eat on the spiritual side. Eat my flesh mean what? Now, Jesus over-explaining. Jesus is telling them that what's going to happen in the future. When you first read that, you said, Jesus said, I got to, in a year and a half, you're going to eat my flesh. I haven't died yet upon the cross. In a year and a half, we, the church, is going to betray Jesus. Yes, you, the church. You're the only one fought against Jesus. Heathens, like me, we didn't fight against Jesus. We was under the Romans, trying to make a living, church, Pharisees, Sadducees, that's right, didn't know what we want. We got mad because he cleaned the temple out. Jesus, you stopped my money. Jesus, you trying to change the people to think like you thinking. I'm in control. The lawyers, everybody seemed like went up against Jesus to test Jesus. But Jesus had an answer for everybody. And I like how Jesus answered everybody. Now, me and you would have got tired of that. We probably would have said something to turn them off forever. But yeah, that's right, sister. Right, Reverend. We've been like Peter. Now, don't ask me too much now. Because you keep asking me this now. Something's going to come out. Now, eat my flesh mean what? Jesus said, believe in me. Eat my living bread. Jesus telling them, later on, a year and a half from now, I'm going to go to the cross. And we know what that means when we take communion. My body is broken for you. The blood that you drink, the forgiveness of sin. You see, Jesus, the way I look at it, he's over explaining this to them. And I ask myself, why? Why are you doing all this? Why are you doing all this, Jesus? And Jesus, now this is me, he said, well, I work with them like I work with you. It took you a while, didn't it, Reverend Easton? And I said, yes. I said, yes, Jesus. I took a while. And Jesus explained this to them. But my last words is that, now we know what living bread means, but just a figure of speech. Now I'm in it kind of funny, like this. It's not what Jesus can do for you, it's what you can do for Jesus. That's it now, because we know when we take that communion, we got a clean slate for that month. We also know that his healing can come to our body. Jesus can take things and turn it around. When they set traps for you, you don't have to fall in the trap. Because what? I serve a reconciliation guy. God always goes ahead and turn things around. You see, he always do that for you and I. So that's what we got to be like that song, what they were saying, praise him. We don't praise him enough. We need to praise him all the time. All the time. All the time. And I love, woo, when I got in this, the basketball game was on, and I started reading, and seeing like you got more interest, the basketball game got more interest, I said, Satan, get back. Get back, Satan. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to tell him about your people, what you have done for them, you see. Y'all know he put bread on my table. Yeah, y'all know my life. My wife looking at me, she don't want me to bring that up again. Says she tired of hearing that. But I know what he done. Yes, I know. Woo! I know what he done in 1977. Oh! My grandmother, she called me. And she was trying to talk decent to me. And I said, every bill that come in my house got James Easton on. I kept on drinking that screwdriver. I kept on. Quarter day. I kept on. Bills come in my name. And Brenda and James. And yeah, that's right. I had my own house. And my car. It seems like nobody can tell me nothing. But God stepped in. In 1979. Oh, when they closed, gave me that peace there. I said, what am I going to do today? Yeah, we went home. We got on the knees. And we prayed. And then 4 years, we didn't lose a thing. I didn't lose my car. We ate every day. My son was born. He can't remember none of them hard days. I know what he can do. I know. I know. See, you got to praise the God. You got to listen to what they're singing this morning. The more you praise, more blessings come down. Thank you very much, Tabernacle. Doors and churches open.